Thankful and grateful that we have direct access to Thee. And no longer do we need to go through any human intercessor because of the relationship that we now enjoy and have with Thy Son, our Savior. We praise Thee for this time together whereby we can study and learn, and as we do, increase our knowledge and resultant experience that we might grow in grace. May God the Holy Spirit take the principles and portions of Scripture that we examine together this evening and make them a blessing to each of us, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen. There were some thoughts that came up today. I was talking with and listening to one of my daughters and having to do with salvation. And it all deals primarily with capacity righteousness. You see, when you realize that at the moment of salvation, God imputes to you double portion, absolute righteousness, you have both the righteousness of the Father and the righteousness of the Son imputed, that's what makes the difference as far as those who say, I believe I can be saved by my good works. There's only one way that a non-believer could ever be saved by their good works. You say, what would that be? If their works were as good as God's. If their righteousness could be equal to God's righteousness, then man could be saved. We say, well, that's impossible. Well, that's the whole point. The very fact that we are totally depraved, the very fact that we have no righteousness that's acceptable to God, there is none righteous, no, not one, there is none that doeth good, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, if that doesn't put us in a totally depraved position, I don't know what does. And then we have further than that, the wages of sin is spiritual death, and every person coming into the world has the pronouncement of spiritual death upon them. But at the cross, capacity righteousness gives us not only the baptism of the Spirit in union with Christ, but it also gives us the capacity to be blessed in time. And of course, when you're speaking about salvation, why should God accept us? Because when He looks at us, He doesn't see us, He sees His Son. He doesn't see our work, He sees His work. And that's why salvation can only be through a perfect member of the human race. And that, of course, in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And need I remind you that this is the time of the year that we celebrate the incarnation, and that is when God became flesh and dwelt among us, and they that lived during that time beheld His glory. The only begotten, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The Word, of course, is the same Word that is mentioned in the first verse of that chapter in John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, in fact, the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him there was nothing made that is made. He's the Creator. You see, when the Father speaks, the Word is the Son. He is, in fact, the manifest Word of the Father's command. No man hath seen God, that is the Father, at any time. What? The only begotten of the Father hath revealed Him, declared Him, manifested Him, various translations. So it's exciting for us, at least, to remember this time of the year, because our salvation is contingent on the fact that the God-man came to earth. And this one, who was very God and very man, went perfectly to the cross and took upon Himself the sins of the entire human race. And there, as a result, all He asks us to do is recognize that as a fact. The work has already been done. It's preposterous for someone to think that they're going to work their way to heaven because God already did the work. The work is finished. He even said it on the cross, did He not? It is finished. And it was done. Can't get any better. And so we, as unbelievers, then recognize Christ through faith. That's faith, belief. And upon believing, double portion imputation, setting up the potentiality for our spiritual as well as physical blessing in time. And then, at the rapture, we receive a glorified body, and to that glorified body is a third capacity righteousness that is imputed, and that is the capacity for the believer to enjoy all of the blessings throughout eternity. Missing factor, capacity righteousness in time. And that's why we're here. We're here so that we can learn of Him and learn on a daily basis. The most important thing for you and for me as believers in Christ is to absorb His Word like a blotter. And as often as we can, take it in, take it in, take it in, take it in. And as often as we can, breathe it out, breathe it out, breathe it out, breathe it out. See, taking it in is the intake part of your soul's learning. When you breathe it out, that's the experience part. The taking it in is the gnosis part. The breathing it out is the epinosis part. And we know that no one grows as a result of taking it in. You could have a wealth of Bible knowledge. That doesn't mean anything. You might do very well on Jeopardy, and that's about it. Yeah, I often get a kick out of that because they do so terribly. These brilliant minds, you know, you hear them, and they're talking about the middle name of some poet that lived in the 4th century. I mean, it's absurd. Okay, and who could... And then they have a category, Bible, and I go, yes. And you hear them, you know, they're up there like retards. Their IQ has dropped from 190 to 4. The last one they had was the Book of Ecclesiastes. Boy, did they flop all over that thing. One person knew a lot of the stuff. What's exciting to me is when you hear somebody who's obviously Jewish and they start asking the New Testament questions and they know the answers. Well, you see, they may know the answer, but they may not know the King. So you can have a wealth of knowledge, but if it's not epinosis, if it's not experience in your life, there's no growth. Of course, with some people I know and some who are members of Westside, they don't have a problem in either case. All right, so we have then the points that we began last night, and let's finish it up this evening so we can get back to our initial subject, and that is the subject of Operation Z, which is the subject of the book of Philemon and the chapter that we, or the verse that we've been studying. Under point 9, God's happiness cannot be separated from His integrity or His holiness. You see, in sharing His happiness with Homo sapien, with us, the principle of integrity is the issue. And please remember that God can never compromise any part of His essence, in no way. He cannot violate His justice. He cannot compromise His righteousness. But you see, here's the beauty. Remember that holiness is made up of two parts, justice and righteousness. Now, if justice stood alone, what is the only thing God could do? Condemn. That's all He could do. But you see, there's a beautiful and perfect balance within the Godhead. On the other side, we have His righteousness. Notice, by the way, what's missing here in our scenario. What's missing? Where a big issue that's made as far as it being the focal point or the basis by which we are saved. God's love, that's not the issue. Look, let's just take this out of the scenario for a minute. Right? Let's say God's love is the focal point. What has He compromised? His justice. How can His justice condemn and His love provide? That's good human viewpoint, but it's not divine viewpoint. It's bad theology, by the way. And it's not biblical. But now notice the picture. Let's put righteousness back into the picture. Let's put justice back into the picture. God loves His righteousness. All right? And what His righteousness demands, His justice supplies. And so what does He do? He gives it to us at the moment of salvation. Now is God free to love us? Yes. Is His justice satisfied? Yes. What major doctrine of the New Testament is the satisfaction of the justice of God? The doctrine of propitiation, thank you. And by what does that occur? By virtue of the fact that we have been justified. And what is justification? The imputation of the righteousness of God to us. Setting up potential one, blessing in time. Potential two, that blessing in time. Potential three, blessing in eternity. All believers have the potential at the moment of salvation. All the believers have the potential at the point of the rapture and the glorified body. Not all believers have blessing in time. Why? Because they've never reached capacity. Well, that's been our subject, and this is a summary, and so we're trying to drive home that truth. In sharing the happiness of God, the principle of integrity, therefore, is the issue. When a believer attains sharing God's happiness, his life has contributed to the integrity capacity to enjoy every circumstance, both good and bad. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have days or moments. We're talking about life. Now, I'm not trying to make excuse for what I said earlier, because if I was going to make an excuse for what I said earlier, I never would have told you what I told you earlier. If nothing else, it should prove to you that even your godly pastor can have days where he gets annoyed. For those of you that think I'm a godly pastor, or others of you, even your pastor can have those problems. And others of you, even your pastor, can have those problems. And I would think after 25 years of being here, you'd get used to my being here. The point of the matter is very simple. You're going to have days where you're going to feel miserable. There are days when I wake up, my wife, we look at each other and we say, let's go back to bed. And then we get sick of that because you hurt more while you're in bed. You ever notice that, by the way? That's one of the reasons why I spend very little time in bed. I really do. And the older I get, the less time I spend. Because you spend too much time, it hurts. And it's not that it's a bad bed. We have an excellent bed. It's just, you know, bones, if they lie in a position for a while, they just say, well, I'm not going to move anymore. So we have to move them, exercise them, get around, do things. And you'll notice that, as I've said recently, for those of you that may not feel as super as you might have felt before class, you decide, well, I'm going to force the issue anyway, and you come to class, and you have a marvelous time in Bible class, and when you leave, it's gone. Do you ever stop to think that maybe that's good old satanic opposition? Trying to blow the potential blessing wind out of your sails, your momentum. Remember, that's all he's out to do is snap your momentum. He'll trip you up every time he can. That's why, as I said last night, excuse me, we need those tremendous lines of defense. How's your defense? Hope it's better than the Cardinals. And certainly better than the Suns last night. Boy, did they look miserable. I like to watch those things, though, because it shows you what happens to believers. Here's a team that should be on top. You've got all the right people. What happens? They fail. They're human. Apparently, I assume the pilot was lit. Because it's warm air. Oh, I know what it is. It's this. Oh, I feel so good. No, it shut off. Otherwise, it would just be running and running. And I don't know, some of you are taking things off, and that's good. To an extent, however. I can see the news tomorrow. Pastor encourages people to take their clothes off. How has your spiritual life contributed? Your spiritual life contributed by virtue of the fact that, number one, you have that capacity righteousness imputed here. Now you have capacity righteousness in time, and blessing will come. Remember, there's that big package that God prepared for you from eternity past. It's called escrow blessings. Now, I like that term. You know why? Because anything that's held in escrow is not given until capacity is reached. And as soon as you reach the capacity, well, the gates open and down comes the blessing. And just like the song says, there shall be showers of blessing. The only problem is, it's not enough. It should say, there shall be showers of blessing when I reach capacity righteousness, and so on. But you can't get all that in there. We have to do some rewriting of some of these songs. You know, some of them are ditties. Some of them are nice. Some of them are terrible. Blessings in store. You have this, so you have the potential. You'll have this, another potential. And if you don't have this, you're going to see that throughout all of eternity as a memorial of what you could have had. And I can only tell you that on this side of the cross, or rather this side of the rapture. And the reason for that is because I don't really know all the extent of it. Like I said the other night, the very fact that we're going to have a new body to experience the blessings we're going to have is just phenomenal in my mind. Can you imagine such type of blessing that we need a new body for it? You say, I'm willing to give mine up anytime. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. The former things, gone. And then a new body. Not just brainless. Not just mindless. Yeah, see, you could go through eternity like a robot. No. No. There are some things said, and frankly, they're hard to be understood. Simple phrases. Like, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding greatness of his grace to us. What does that mean? Yeah, take it off. True happiness in the soul cannot be separated from true integrity and the spiritual righteousness derived from one's use of their spiritual skills. It's just like anyone who is gifted in a certain area and has natural skills eventually is paid for doing that. They're rewarded by a good salary. I hope you're fulfilled in that area if you have any natural skills. No, I'm not trying to be sarcastic about it. I've met some people that have no natural skills, whatever. Or if they do, that's they've learned how to hide it. They're hidden files somewhere on their hard drives. But in any event, there are those that excel in certain areas. They are gifted. And eventually, like you hear people who can, at 6 and 7 years old, sit down at the piano and play Chopin after a few minor lessons. I couldn't play Chopin at 6. I couldn't play it at 16, 26, 36, 60. Every time I play the piano, it's the same sound, no matter what I do. It has the same, and it's always sounded the same. And I've never taken a lesson I don't intend to. Why? Because I feel no desire. I love to hear it. So I appreciate people who play the piano well. But there are some people that don't have to even practice that much. And if they do, they just become far superior to those who have practiced all their life. Why? Because they have a natural skill. There are some people that are tone deaf. You know, it does help to be able to carry a tune. So when you're playing the notes, they come true to your ear. Like I'll say to Bob occasionally, I'll lean over, and I'll say, Bob, that piano is really out of tune, isn't it? And he says, yeah, it's terrible. And I'll say, but there are those that don't even hear it. Piano's out of tune. That's not because we're sitting up here. You hear it worse out there. But you have to have an ear for it. Some people have it. Some people don't. It's a matter of pitch. Some people have true pitch. They can just pick a middle C right out of the sky and hum it or whistle it. Bob's about a half a tone high, and I'm about a half, no, low, and I'm about a half a tone high because we're arguing all the time. F, no, G, no, whatever lower is. I taught it, but I forgot it since then. So what are your spiritual skills? Well, you see, it doesn't have to do with your natural birth. A lot of it has to do with natural birth. It has to do with parents. It has to do with heritage. It has to do with genetics. But here, spiritual skills are given to every believer with the same equal opportunity to use them. And no one has any more advantage than any other. No believer in this auditorium has more advantage in the utilization of their spiritual skills than anyone else. Unless you bring yourself to that disadvantaged position. That's just like I have a problem with people going around calling themselves minorities. I really do. I wouldn't admit that I was a minority. That's demeaning. As most of you know, I come from Greek parentage, both mother and father. Well, there's a minority, but you don't hear me going around saying, well, you know, I'm a minority. Unless you're looking for what? Superiority. Not equality. No one has the right to demand equality. And there's nothing in our Constitution that affords equality. How can you make people equal with a stroke of a pen? How do you do that? Oh, it's simple. You can do that. Reduce everyone down to the lowest common denominator. Idiot. Yeah, so if you have everyone in idiot status, they're all equal. And you see, we wouldn't have to have Olympics because everybody could throw the ball as far and everybody could run as fast and everybody... Look at the whole sports field. Gone. We never worry about the Suns. They never win. They never lose. Because everybody would win. Because no one would play. If they're all equal, you see the fallacy of equality? There's no equality in life. There's no equality in this auditorium, whether physical or spiritual ability. Why? Because some have lived longer, some have availed themselves of their spiritual skills, some have availed themselves of their natural skills. We've got people in this auditorium, I know men, who are here this evening that can work with wood that would put the average person to shame. Beautiful. And they're not doing that as a living. They just enjoy it. I know others that have a gift of writing. Physical, natural skill. They write beautifully. You know, they write a letter, and to them it's just a letter, and people just, oh, send me more. I've never had that. Never. You say, well, how could you? You never write. See, the safeguard. My writing goes like this. Hi there. How are you? I'm fine. Bye. Good talking with you. Feel the same way on the phone. That's the way I write. I want to see the person. I don't want to try to imagine what they're seeing. Everybody has their own thing in that area. Some of you ladies have phenomenal skills. Say, how? Look what you do to yourself. And only you know how you start in the morning. I mean, that's artistic. How about using our spiritual skills under equal opportunity? Everyone has them. Remember, you weren't dealt a short deck. Every time I hear that, I want to 52 pick up the individual. What is a short? I was dealt a short hand or a short deck. What is that? Fate? God just kind of missed you somehow? Oh, you're a believer in Christ, but oh, I forgot. I'm sorry, you got a short deck. What is a short deck, by the way? The wrong deck? Hey, between my daughter and I, don't ever ask us for idioms. Talk about mixed metaphors. We destroy them. Well, you know, it's hot as cats and dogs in here. Bob likes it. He thinks it's a riot. My wife just falls over laughing. Can't help it. That's just the way I get them mixed up. They don't make any sense to me anyway, so I just throw in anything. Apparently, they don't make any sense to Pam either. And she looks at you like, what's wrong with that? And I say to her, yeah, what is? Sounds good to me. Bob goes, oh, no, you too. Hey, it's better than cheap airfares. If you weren't here the other day, you see, you missed something. Cheap airfares. Wife says, tomorrow there's a show going to be on. It's going to be on cheap airfares. I said, cheap airfares? No, I said, chief bear hair? So she said, I said, why would I want to watch a program about chief bear hair? And she said, no, it's cheap airfares. Cheap. Oh, chief. That also comes with age, you see. She mumbles and I can't hear, so that works out. Isn't it wonderful having a sense of humor? Most of you, anyway. You know what that proves to me? You got some happiness in your soul. That's right. And some of you sit there like you're stone-faced. That must be what's going on inside. See? And the only enjoyment you get is at the price of someone else. Gotcha. Point 10. Here it is. God's happiness is never based on the unhappiness of others. You know, some people, when they see others unhappy, they're so happy, causes them to laugh. It's kind of morbid, isn't it? You can't build your happiness on the unhappiness of others. You can't build your riches on the poverty of others. You can't build your life on other people. You see, you can't be happy by reacting to people and circumstances. Say, well, what about when you're a victim of unfairness? Somebody has just been unfair. So? Our Lord doesn't know anything about that, does he? He doesn't know anything about false accusation. He has no idea whatever what it means to be treated unfairly. Yes, he does. And what about the writer of 13 epistles? He didn't know anything about being treated poorly, thrown in prison, beaten up. Shipwrecked, left for dead, died in one city, Lystra. No doubt in my mind, God brought him back. Say, how come? Don't you know? Because Paul was such a nice guy? No, his job wasn't done. And what I told you repeatedly, when you're in the will of God, you're immortal. No one can take your life. No circumstance can override the sovereignty of God. That's the kind of a God I don't know about your God, but I see a God in the Bible that is absolutely fantastic. Unchanging. Consistent. Fair. Loving. Desirous to bless his people. That's what he wants for you. Say, well, I'm going to wait to the start of the year and I'm going to make some resolutions. And no, you're not. So how do you know? Because if you haven't started by now, you're not going to. What's the first of the year got to do with it? What's a new year? What about the rest of this year? What about tomorrow? And the next day? And the next day? You know, this Christmas season would take on a whole new atmosphere for you. When you're a victim of unfairness, you cannot be happy when you react. For you see, reactionary sins, there's the key. I'm not saying you can't react. The Bible does not condemn anger, by the way. What does the Bible say about anger? It says, be angry, but don't what? Don't sin. See, some of you have the idea that anytime anybody gets angry, they're sinning. Oh, no, no, no. Someone asked me once, well, how can you be angry and not sin? Easy. Be angry at sin. Haven't you ever gotten angry at your children? I hope you're not one of those that says, well, you know, I've been taught that I should never discipline my children when I'm angry. Well, what are you going to do when you're happy? Oh, come here, let me show you my love for you. Whack! Boy, that's not going to confuse that little critter. Whatever it happens to be. No, you have to get angry. But you don't sin. What's the key to that? Well, number one, you don't let your anger go down with the sun, which means you don't perpetuate it. You don't prolong it. You have it, you get rid of it, and you forget it. If you haven't sinned, you have nothing to confess. Now, if you go around saying, if I find that cart, I'm going to break the legs of that old woman that stole it. See, now I assumed that it had to be somebody that was really old. Much older than I. And frankly, I was going after old people, I must confess. The ones with the babies, I didn't have any problem because I figured they would never have children in what I was buying. Well, they would notice it right away. Or one of the kids would say, "What's this, Mommy?" You know, a bottle of real syrup. Like. Or they'd have eaten the apples that I bought. I counted them, too, to make sure, by the way. Not that it made any difference, because I only paid for what I got. But the thing was, I didn't want somebody grubbing on my... But you see, that would have been the difference if I'd have said, "When I find that person, I'll break both their legs." No, I'd have just said, "Uh-huh." "Person, you have my cat." I must admit, here a while back, you know, maybe you ladies have that all the time, but I'm standing there one day and I see this woman. I said, "Hey!" She about jumped about 3 feet off the ground. She was walking off with my cart. "Oh," she says, "I'm sorry." And she went back to hers. Hey, look, when you start in with this label reading, that can throw you off. You know, you start this and you go. Almost as bad as some of the people that have left here and left their children in the parking lot. That's pretty bad. I think it's great. As someone would say at this point, are we having fun yet? Had a great time. You're a great bunch. Most of the time. Sin destroys your capacity. Mental attitude sins. Sins of the tongue, like gossip, maligning, or overt sins. Doesn't matter. Three categories of sins, all of which destroy your capacity. See, here's the little game that some of you play. You go through life, and if I was going to make a graph of your life, here's the neutral line. There's the neutral line. All right, so you start off with basically zero. Here's the point of your salvation, the cross. So you begin to go up a little bit, and then you're a rocky road. And then sometimes, man, you really shoot up, and then the next day you're back down again. No consistency. Then there are those, you just, no big growers, they don't make a big splash. Just nice and slow and steady and steady and steady to the top. That's what God approved of, not this. You see, there's no peace here. Because every one of these valleys is despair, torment, pain, hurt, anguish. And what it does is here, you built some capacity, righteousness to that point. See, there's your high point. What have you done here? Just destroyed it. And all of a sudden, now here, boy, look at the amount you built here. But you see, watch. Boom, now you're down the bottom. Just destroyed it. You're back to neutral again. This person, just building CR, 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 all the way until they reach maturity. That's how you grow physically. Right? Slowly, steadily, consistently, that's what you look for. And when a child is healthy, you expect at a certain age, it will be a certain height, certain weight, right? Mental with physical, hopefully. Well, today the bodies are outgrowing the minds. You know, you have a 25-year-old man and a 14-year-old body. No. The other way around. Look at the brain of a 2-year-old is what he has. Look at the way he's depicted on television. Look at the commercials. The average male in this country is depicted as a clod, and no one gets annoyed except me. I watch those things and they aggravate me. But then I look at the guy and I'll say, "You deserve it, you clod." Of course, I guess that's why people voted for who they voted for. You can't be happy when you react. You cannot be happy when you sin. You notice people who sin a lot are not happy people? They're not. Oh, they may put on the appearance of being happy, but they're miserable inside. Because they're destroying their soul. Therefore, what's the most important thing for you? What causes this steady advance? The lines of defense. The 10 problem-solving devices, all set up in battle array, waiting for the attack. See, what the 10 problem-solving devices do is they make you aware, by virtue of the answer, what the problem is going to be. If you have the problem-solving device, if you can solve the problem, you're already aware of what the problem is because you already have the solution for it. But notice as we go through life, what is the easiest thing for us to do when we're confronted with a problem? First words out of our mouth. Now what do I do? Why? No solution. And then, of course, you have the mirror of the soul that reflects what actually is in your soul. This is what God sees. And that's what you should see when the Word interprets what you are inside. Well, we've had fun tonight. I think some of you want to go shopping. Our time is not gone. But we've only got 5 minutes, so I'm going to let you go a little early this evening. Don't count on tomorrow night, though. No. You've had a time of learning, a time of... You know, they say that laughter is therapeutic. It really is. Some of you look miserable when you came in tonight. You look much better right now. Keep it up. Good for the soul. Thank you, Father, for this important study. And as we complete this segment of our studies from your Word, may we again realize how important it is that we do with what we've been given, lest we lose it. We know we can't lose our salvation, that's secure, but our blessing. And we know that you're waiting to pour it out upon us as soon as we reach that point of capacity. Teach us as we continue our advance, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.